Please do be seated. So where have these last 6 months gone, I wonder? And I had a little review with the wardens last week, and we talked a few things, and I was asked if I would try and use the pulpit. I just hadn't thought, because in my life as a Christian in ministry, I've been in churches where we didn't have a pulpit, so I will try it. I don't commit to using it every week, but because it's something strange for me, but I hope that it's something that helps you in hearing what God is saying to us today. So much of who we are is about our identity, and I wonder what you think defines us. It may be our family background, our education, where we live. I know many of you are proud to be villagers here within Ducklington, and your family history goes back many, many years. It may be what you do. But I believe it's fundamentally on what we believe, and our faith defines us in so many ways. Sometimes, perhaps, we put on a disguise to hide our true identity. And it may be for fun, or it may be for protection, because we are uncomfortable. We don't want people to see us as we truly are. And I ask you to hold on to that, because as we look at the passage from Colossians today, we can see that there is such a link between what we believe and how we live out that belief in our daily lives. And as Christians, one of the key identifiers for us is what we hold to, what we believe, what is our standing in Christ. Because it's by his gift and by his grace. And what we believe in Christ defines our moral character. It's indicative of who we are. It's our very being. And in this very, very challenging passage in Colossians, Paul, at the beginning, picks up in verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ, and he is looking back at in the earlier chapter, verse 20, since you died with Christ. So he is reminding his readers that we have both been dying with Christ, but are raised with him into a new life. And then he reminds us too that, using that imagery of clothing, that we are to take off the old self, those things before we came to faith, and which ruled our lives then. And I think the challenge that he's giving his readers and he's giving us is, how much do we still let that old life, that old self, that old humanity live in us and influence who we are and become an identifier with us, which is a challenge to us today. So in response, we need to think about what is our state? What is, we have our standing in Christ and we have the state of ourselves, of how we respond to the grace that God has given us in Jesus Christ. So just as our standing in Christ defines our moral character, our response determines our moral behavior. And if our character is one of compassion, of truth, then we will be compassionate and truthful. And this is part of the transformation that the Holy Spirit works in us as we strive day by day to turn our lives over to him. Paul writes that we are challenged to live completely different lives, to put to death, that's a harsh word, isn't it? To put to death, to mortify those earthly practices. And he focuses on two particular areas. He focuses on the area of sexual sin. And we might say that has no concern for us. Look at the news just this weekend. The horrific stories of the hundreds of children who have been abused through online paedophile activity. It is as likely to happen in our area of England as it is in Scotland. And what we can be called to do is to pray about these things. We need to recognize these things sadly happen. Open your newspaper and you will see what happens. It happens in the church. The tragedy of so many church leaders who fall by the wayside because of some extramarital affair. The popularity of erotic fiction. The very peculiar television programs that you might, I trust, only read about in the paper. But the temptation is there, isn't it? What is this that people are talking about? And as we do look and perhaps dabble, then we are beginning to change our allegiance from what God wants us to do to being tempted to look at stuff that we should not. Are we actually prepared to be called, I couldn't find quite the right word, but a prude, somebody who objects to the cheapening of God's gift of sex, and that it should be within the marriage context? Paul also focuses on calling us to get rid of sinful speech. Whereas the sexual sins are perhaps one of our bodily sin, our speech reflects our attitude. And he lists here, doesn't he, those elements of our speech. Get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language, and lying. Elsewhere, Paul talks about how we succumb to gossiping and how that is not building up the church. And it's for each of us to listen to what God may be saying to us. And how easy I know it is, just to say something that we shouldn't say, because it's actually, in Paul's words, slandering another. And how we respond in our own community is such a witness to those who might come through our doors and come to discover what it is to be living within a Christian fellowship. And we need to be showing love and reconciliation in our relationships. And we need to reflect on any unkind words that we know. And I'll say it again, we know we have spoken. And we need to seek and receive that forgiveness that Jesus has already announced for us, and it's for us to receive. So what Paul is calling us through this letter to the Colossians is to change our patterns of behavior. Both these things, our sexuality and our speech, have potential for great good, but also for great evil. And a psalm I was reading earlier today talks about how our tongue should talk daily of God's righteousness. So that's what we should aspire to, is talking of God in a way that brings him praise and honor. And Paul talks about we should be obedient. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. So we need all of us to reflect, and a wonderful opportunity we have as we come to share around the Lord's table today, to reflect upon our behavior. And what is it that we individually need to put to death in what we do and what we say? So what is our current situation as Paul describes it? He says our life is now hidden with Christ in God. What he's saying is that now that we have died to sin, been raised with Christ, as we gloriously celebrated with Jodie a couple of weeks ago at her baptism, we In a sense, our lives are refocused because we're focused on Christ who is in heaven. And if you like, our lives are hidden from those of the world around us because they cannot see what we can see, which is that foretaste of the heavenly life. So we are called to focus on Christ in heaven. We're on a different journey, if you like, to those who have no sense of God. And that journey we're on is difficult. It's dangerous. It's a route full of pitfalls. But the joy is that Jesus is walking that route with us. He has given his Holy Spirit to hold us so that we are not ever on our own. And are we equipped to stand out? Are we prepared to be different in the world in which we do live? Now, you'll know that expression, and I had to prove it to myself. It's actually not a biblical quote, to be in the world but not of it. It's a synthesis of several different scriptures. But essentially what it's saying, that we're in the world because that's the reality of where we are. We are here living in Whitney, in Ducklington. And this is where we live out our faith, in our work, in our homes, in our communities. But we are not to be of the world. We are not to be influenced by that worldview of which I've spoken, those programs, those books that want to draw us away from following God. So it's a challenge, isn't it? What do we watch? What do we read? What do we listen to? And how does what we read and watch and listen to influence our Christian maturity and our thinking? You may well know that verse in Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So if our minds change, if what we believe influences us, then our experience of God in our hearts and lives will be lived out in our changed behavior. If people look at us and see what we do, can they see that we are trusting God to be our rock and our refuge and the influence in our lives? So our old self is to be crucified with God, to be taken off. And we are to take on this new self, which is that focus on God, to enjoy the fruits of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians, of love and joy and peace. And what does this say about our lives one with another? What Paul is challenging us, and I am challenged by and draw you along with me, is that our state of knowing Jesus Christ should draw us to become more like him in our standing. So help us live the lives that we profess. Because the good news that we witness to is evidenced by our changed lives and is a gift then for those we speak to and interact with. So as we come to a close of this passage, that wonderful expression, that last verse in this passage, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. So Christ is all important. That's what we as Christians hold to. And Christ wants us to get to know him, not just about him, but to know him as he is, so that he is living alongside us and with us. So as we understand more of the teaching that we learn and it influences our behavior, as we seek to let our understanding of the godliness that God wants of us to become the goodness of how we live our lives, so following this new way of Christ helps us in our relationships with Christ, with each other, with our families, in our work, and with those who we meet day by day. Because it's by God's grace that he transforms his people, he transforms us, to live in right relationships with one another. And so, I remind us that this is a new reality that has begun. It's not complete in the language of theologians. It's an inaugurated eschatology. It's the beginning of the end when Jesus will come. But we are on that journey. And what Paul wrote for the Colossians is as relevant to us today as it was to them. Sex and slander, greed and idolatry. I suppose the shocking thing in our world is the speed with which these things spread by communications and IT media. And in the parable of the rich man who was pursuing the wrong type of riches, Jesus focuses on his greed. Be on your guard, he says, against all kinds of greed. And the greed the which we spoke about in the psalm, about the wickedness of those who put their trust in their goods and boast of their great riches. We can boast of our great riches. That's the riches we receive through our faith in Jesus Christ. If I were a singer, and you'll be glad to hear I'm not, I might break out with a chorus that many of you might know. And it is a chorus in our Mission Praise books. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So Christ is all that we need. Christ is in all if we look for him. So knowing that we live with Christ within us, he is there within us, will influence how we live our lives and proclaim our faith by our behaviour. Let us pray. Lord, that we will indeed claim you as our own. Claim you as being all that we need. We pray we may continue to be transformed, to live out our faith, to honour you and to witness to your love in your world. Amen.